Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. Jeff Shepard served as a police officer for 10 years and a firefighter for 7. During his time wearing the badge, he witnessed a lot of trauma. In 2012, he was involved in an ambush shooting, and 3 years later, he and his partner were attacked with an IED. As a motor officer, Jeff found relief from his own PTSD by just getting out on his bike and riding. From that, an idea was born, and we're going to hear more about that now. Jeff, welcome to American Warrior Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Always a pleasure, sir. Well, I shouldn't say that.
Thank you.
It will be. I mean, it's our first time talking, right?
Yes.
Jeff, where are you right now?
Currently, we're in San Antonio.
Okay. I have heard of this San Antonio.
Yeah, beautiful town. We just finished up here yesterday. We had a great interview with the police and fire. They welcomed us in here and had one of their doctors. they actually have a doctor who is in charge of all their kind of like officer wellness and resiliency for the fire department. And she does both for public safety, for police and fire. And so she came out and spoke too, and they're doing great things here.
Jeff, I want to talk and share with our listeners more about Ride for Relief, but let's back up a little bit. The nature of the work of law enforcement officers and firefighters is that you're often interacting with civilians, the rest of us, on what could be our worst day. Less common is an incident where it turns out or turns into what it could have been your worst day. Tell us about those two incidences that put you on this path of the ambush, the shooting ambush, and the IED attack.
Yeah, so, you know, like you said, you know, over up until 2012, I had been a firefighter for 8 years and had been a cop then for just about 5. And, excuse me, and the things that you see and the stresses on the job, you know, they accumulated over that time. And then in 2012, I was working one evening and went to stop a subject who was just walking down the street. We had some areas with some overnight burglaries, so they wanted us to really kind of like try and figure out who was doing it. And this kid looked a little out of place, so I was just going to stop him and talk to him, just a normal subject stop. And as I pulled up in my patrol car to contact him, I don't know exactly where he had it, but he had a shotgun tucked up under his sweatshirt somehow, and fired a round at me from about maybe 10 or 15 feet away and hit right in the windshield of my patrol car. And luckily for me, he was using a birdshot, so it didn't penetrate. But when the glass fragmented and hit me in the face, I thought I got hit. You know, after a few minutes, we you know, locked down the area because he ran from me, and we got the area cordoned off and had canine there, and we ended up catching him about maybe 20 minutes later, 20, 30 minutes later. But, you know, most departments have things for if there's a shooting, you know, if there's an officer-involved shooting and you fire your service weapon, the protocols that go into that. Well, I never fired my service weapon, so they just basically were like, go home for the evening and come back tomorrow. Well, you know, riding that adrenaline for that night, I didn't sleep a wink. And over the days after the shooting, you know, things just started to deteriorate for me. I wasn't sleeping, and if I did fall asleep, I was having really bad nightmares. And so I eventually went to the department psychologist and was diagnosed with PTSD. So that kind of started the road of this whole thing. You know, I was in therapy and was really learning about PTSD because we always hear about military and the veterans dealing with it, but we don't get so much, you know, on the law enforcement and firefighter side. And it's really real on that side.
Now, Jeff.
And so.
Well, I was going to say almost three, you know, when I talk to our military guests, it's not unusual to hear the word or, you know, IED. I don't hear that very often when it comes to law enforcement officers.
Yeah.
And that's crazy.
Yeah. And so I eventually, you know, after my shooting, I was out for about a year and I went back to work and then had been back at work for about two years and was working on the 4th of July and was working in our traffic division riding motors. And my partner and I were doing a traffic control gig And I was standing in this parking lot and some cars were driving by and somebody threw a like 12 to 15 inch, and probably 3 or 4 inch diameter pipe bomb out of their car. It was on a videotape from a casino that was nearby. And they could see this pipe bomb thrown out at my partner and I mean, we were targeted. And I heard it bouncing across the parking lot and then it hit me in the leg. And when I looked down, then it exploded.
Wow.
And left a crater in the ground and knocked me and my partner down and ruptured my eardrum. I had shrapnel and burns up my right side. I'm surprised I didn't lose my leg in the attack. But, yeah, so, you know, and that was something, you know, I never thought would happen again at that point, you know, was like have it, you know, some kind of improvised thing thrown at me. You know, we had fireworks that were shot at us all the time because it was the 4th of July and we were working in an area where they had a lot of fireworks and, but never in a million years dreamt that that would happen.
Jeff, you know, that's the mission of American Warrior Radio is to educate those of us who haven't served or who don't wear the badge or aren't firefighters. And so this, I wanted to really emphasize this because it's so powerful. I mean, an IED attack on a law enforcement officer is extreme, but coming back to your first, well, for example, I'm driving to the studio today to do the show, and there's a guy who's severely drunk out there impeding traffic, just kind of a loose cannon. And I was thinking about you coming out here. I was thinking, you know, that could be just a drunk guy, but that could go south really fast. You just never know.
Yeah. And I actually had an incident early in my career, probably a year or two after I was on the force, where we had somebody like that. They seemed intoxicated. They were in a road, and the call came out as they were, like, impeding traffic and throwing rocks at cars. And one of my partners went there to check it out, and when he got there, the guy was had just been released from a mental hospital the day before, and he just – you know, he was a little off and, it turned when my partner went to, just contact him, he ended up like throwing a rock at him. And then it turned into a big old fight. And when I pulled up, cause he called for, you know, some backup. And when I got there, I saw him laying on the ground with four other guys. Like there was about six people rolling around on the ground. And I didn't know who was, you know, or who or what was going on. And when I pull up, it turned out that he was fighting with the guy and then four civilians helped, like, stop to help him. And, you know, at that point there was, well, two officers, four civilians trying to get this guy in custody. And it took all we could do. And he ended up biting us. And, I mean, it was a knockout drag out. And that was just one person, you know. So you never know what you're going to have on the job.
Jeff, tell us about Kyle Farr and Leslie Main.
Yeah.
Those are two names that have quite an impact on your life.
Oh, yeah. So last year, it was in 2012 after my shooting, I met Leslie, and she had a foundation in Seattle called Permission to Start Dreaming, and they were doing a lot of things for veterans. And so I ended up, you know, starting to kind of volunteer and doing some, you know, stuff with some of their fundraisers that they were doing. And Leslie and I became pretty good friends. And she started to realize that, hey, you know, we're doing stuff for veterans. But, you know, she met me and she was like, maybe we should do some stuff for first responders. So they've actually started to open their doors to first responders, police and fire. And, you know, after meeting her and finding out, you know, her son, Kyle, had struggled with PTSD, and he lost his life with that struggle. It was an overdose. They don't know if it was, you know, intentional or if he was, you know, trying to commit suicide. But he lost his struggle with that, and so Leslie went through some dark times and started the foundation because she didn't want any other mother to go through what she had gone through. So after meeting her and all this that went on last year, I decided that, you know, I wanted to do a memorial ride for Kyle. And that's how that was kind of the beginnings of Ride for Relief. So I was doing some motorcycle rides locally But then I decided to do this cross-country ride for Kyle to his grave in Virginia. And along the way, we decided, hey, why don't we stop at police departments? And why don't we take this on the road? And I can tell my story and kind of be a beacon, kind of be a person to put a face to PTSD and first responders. And I can share my story. And maybe it somebody out there will hear my story and they'll think, hey, there's help. I can come forward, because that's the biggest thing with this. With, you know, officer wellness and resiliency and PTSD is there's a lot of officers that are afraid to come forward because they're going to be labeled as weak or think they're going to lose their job. And so that was why last year we said, hey, let's do this memorial ride for Kyle and do that and raise money. But let's also talk at police departments and fire departments and find out what departments are doing good things that have programs. You know, there's this big thing that a lot of departments are talking about right now of hire to retire, where they're getting them early in the academy. They're training them on officer and wellness and resiliency and saying, hey, we're training you to protect yourself and fire your guns and drive cars and, you know, your body armor and things to protect your body. But here's things we can do to protect your mental health, your mind, and your with officer wellness.
Okay, Jeff, I want to talk a little bit more about that when we come back. Ladies and gentlemen, last year, Jeff Shepard rode his motorcycle all across the country from Seattle to Virginia. This summer, he's doing it again. We're going to talk more about the Ride for Relief when we come back. Stick around. Welcome back to American Warrior Radio, ladies and gentlemen. We're talking with Jeff Shepard. Jeff currently is in San Antonio. He's doing a ride across the country to raise awareness about PTSD, not just for members of our military, but also our first responders who are often overlooked when it comes to these issues. Jeff, you mentioned Leslie Main and the Permission to Start Dreaming Foundation and how that got you on this path. I just realized, looking at my notes here, Jeff, Permission to Start Dreaming Foundation, PTSD.
Yes.
That was probably done by. And by the way, folks, you can find out more, visit PTSDfoundation.org. Jeff, what is your plan for this summer? What are your stops on your 2019 tour?
So this year we decided, because last year was such a success, we decided to even go bigger this year. So we're doing 35 states. Basically touching all the four corners. So we started in Seattle May 24th, made our way across the north all the way to Portland, Maine. And then we came down the East Coast, down through Boston, New York, Philly, D.C., all the way down to Florida. And now we're working our way across the south and are in San Antonio right now. And then we've got a couple more stops in Texas. And then we'll go up through Oklahoma, Kansas, Colorado, and then back down through Phoenix to San Diego and then up the West Coast. So it's a long, long journey this year, but it's definitely something that I'm passionate about and knew that I needed to, you know, continue. And I'm going to make this an annual thing and getting out there and talking to departments and just spreading the news about this.
Jeff, when you do this, is the general public invited to come out as well, or is this just, you know, one sheepdog to another sort of a gathering?
Well, we try to do that. You know, we reach out to some different people, you know, and organizations and say, you know, kind of have our schedule out there so that if people wanted to come and ride along, they're more than welcome, or if they wanted to meet us at one of our interviews and, you know, and do some riding or something, we're more than happy to do that. So this year we haven't had any takers this year, but so I think a lot of people are they realize how far we're riding. They don't want to come along.
Well, Jeff, if my wife would let me get anywhere near a motorcycle again after my past experiences, I join you, but I'm thinking probably not going to happen. Now, this is to raise awareness, but is there also a fundraising element to this?
Yeah, so this year we, you know, this one was such a big undertaking this year, you know, with 35 states and going to be gone for 2 months. We really had to this year, rely on, you know, some sponsors. So this year we had, AMSOIL, the synthetic oil company stepped up really big and, is supporting us this year, and Angel Armor. And we, you know, that's something that we could not have done without those companies and stepping up and doing that for us. You know, they're doing so many great things for, you know, with AMSOIL protecting the fleets and Angel Armor with the armor they're doing for the vests and for the doors in the cars. You know, they wanted to step up and say, hey, we're protecting, you know, the fleets and the people, but this officer wellness and resiliency is a big thing. So we've got that part of it, you know, and then, you know, along the way where, you know, we're trying to raise money, you know, that I can give back to, some different, foundations that are kind of close to my heart, like Save a Warrior and 10-6. There's some things that are doing a lot of stuff for first responders, you know, with retreats and things like that. And guys that are, you know, dealing with some critical incidents and PTSD and getting them the help they need.
And folks can learn more if they visit rideforrelief.com. Jeff, one thing, the insular is not quite the right word, but law enforcement and first responders, they're pretty close-knit groups. And I would guess there's a hesitation to speak outside of that box. But one thing that really struck me on your website, there's a quote, you know, that's the truth. You're not alone.
Yeah.
And that just, that's such a powerful statement. It really resonated with me, sir. I want everybody listening to say, look, you're not, if you're wearing the badge or the uniform, you're not alone. We're here for you.
Yeah. And that's why that was one of the reasons I was really passionate about this, you know, and getting out there and kind of putting a face to it to say, hey, you know, I'm somebody that dealt with it. You know, I was diagnosed with PTSD. I had a ton of critical incidences that I dealt with. And I realized that I needed to get some help. And, you know, there's so the last 3 or 4 years, I mean, when you look at the studies, the firefighter and police officer suicides are through the roof. I mean, they're more than in the line of duty deaths. And not a lot of people hear about that. And, you know, it's something that definitely needs to be talked about because, you know, everybody's talking about the 22 too many, the soldiers that are committing suicide, but we don't hear a lot about the first responder side of it. And it's a real thing. And it's, you know, when we were in New York just this year, they had 3 officers within about not even a week span that committed suicide.
Wow.
And then Philadelphia had one right after we left there. So, it's, you know, it's out there, it's happening, and it definitely needs to be talked about. And that's why we do this, why we go and talk to these departments. And really, you know, we're not doing it for us so much as we aren't for the departments to be able to kind of have a voice and say, hey, officers that work for us, here's the programs we have. You know, these are the things that you can come, if you're struggling and need help, here's where you can come. And, you know, and a lot of them are voluntary. So you don't even have to, the department doesn't even have to know. I mean, you can go and get the help you need, and the department, it has no recourse against you. So I urge anybody that's out there listening, you know, that's a first responder, you know, fire, police, EMS, even the people kind of don't think about them that often, but our call receivers, our dispatchers.
Good point.
You know, they lots of times are on the other end of that line with you and hear these incidents going down, and then they don't get to find out what the outcome was.
Good point. And Jeff, God bless you for what you're doing. Folks can find out more at rideforrelief.com. We've only got about a minute and a half, Jeff, but one thing I have to touch on, you know, a guy has to eat somehow. We talked to a lot of entrepreneurs. You're a big rough and tough guy. You don't very often hear rough and tough guys say the word binky.
I know.
Tell me what a tactical diaper bag is.
Yeah, so a few years ago, when my son was born, I was like sitting there and I was carrying around this bag, and I was like, this thing is, I don't know why I have this. And so I ended up designing a tactical diaper bag that's kind of a more manly bag for a dad. And it's made at a facility here in the U.S. up in Seattle. And they basically it's just a cool bag that a dad can have. And then it's something that when you outgrow this diaper bag, it's a cool bag the dad can have and use as like a range bag or, you know, a 2-day bag if you're going on a trip or something. So, yeah, Downrange Baby kind of was born from that.
Downrange Baby, remember that name. So how many, in the space that normally fits a binky, how many mags can I put in that same pocket?
You know, it's kind of funny because when we designed the bag, I made it so it had bottle holders. And you can get 6 mags in there or about 3 beers.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Jeff, thank you so much for spending time with us, particularly I know you're busy. You're on the road. And God bless what you're doing. If I can steal another quote from you, we only regret the rides we didn't take. That applies to a lot of things in life, doesn't it, sir?
It does. Yep. And I'm glad I'm able to do this and getting these rides in and helping people.
Well, Jeff, again, thanks for your time. Folks can learn more at rideforrelief.com, or they can also visit ptsdfoundation.org. You be safe out there, sir. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. You can find this podcast and others at AmericanWarriorRadio.com. Like us on Facebook, American Warrior Radio. We even have a Twitter page at Warrior Radio TUC. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, all policies and procedures are to remain in place. Take care.